All right, welcome back everyone to another episode of Time Out Talk. We're your host, Raphael Singer.
And Hunter Leon.
And it's the best time of the year. NBA playoff time right around the corner. In a couple of days, we'll have the play-in tournament starting. A lot of exciting basketball to come around as we enter into the postseason. Couldn't be more thrilled, and we'll be here all the way through to cover everything that's been going on. But I guess since we're about to jump into the playoffs with the regular season closing, I think it's a good time to reflect on our preseason predictions.
Yes.
A lot of good takes, a lot of bad takes, but takes nonetheless. So I guess let's start with you, Hunter, if you want to recap your predictions for the Western Conference, because we could start out West.
Let's go by conference. So let me just recap what the actual standings are now, because NBA finished up today. Very exciting last day of games. Standings switched, which is very unlike most regular seasons. But in the West, we got Nuggets at the one, Grizzlies at the two, Kings at the three, Suns at the four, Clippers at the five, Warriors six, Lakers seven, Timberwolves eight, Pelicans nine, and the Thunder are 10. We're not going to go past 10 because it's just unnecessary at this point. We don't want to shame the fans of any teams, such as Raphael's brother, Mikey, who is a Blazers fan.
Hey,
So we're not going to be shaming him or the Blazers fan base for not being in the play-in
can I
tournament
say
this
one
year.
thing about the Blazers? I was at the
Sure.
Blazer Clipper game yesterday, here in LA, and the Blazers, who shut down pretty much everyone for the season because they're trying to tank for Victor Wembanyama, get the best draft odds, they were starting a guy called Jeanathan. Not Jonathan, Jeanathan.
Jonathan, like the way jeans are spelled.
I think it was two E's, but it was honestly crazy. I feel like they just picked up some random guys off the street and started starting them. But regardless, that's distracting from the point.
Okay, so getting to my standings, I did have Nuggets at the one seed. I'll take my dub on that. I had the Warriors at the two, and the Timberwolves at the three. That's my L of the draft, or L of the predictions is going to be my Timberwolves at the three seed.
Yeah, you were big on them, man.
I was big. Cat was out for most of the season, to be fair, but I was very big on this Timberwolves team. Clippers at the four, solid pick considering they were the five. The Dallas Mavericks at the five seed, which at the time, if they hadn't made that trade, that's where they would have been, about 4 or 5. So
Yeah.
I'm taking my dub. Trades you can't see coming. The Suns at the six seed, which is not too far off, but I was a little down on them. I think we were both a little down on them.
Sure, yeah.
Pelicans at the seven seed, Lakers at the eight seed, Grizzlies at the nine seed. I was very, very low on the Grizzlies.
Yeah.
Sorry, Ja. Sorry, Triple J. I will disrespect Dylan Brooks, but I will not disrespect you two.
Fair
I
enough.
had the Kings at the 10 seed. So also a lot of disrespect to the Kings, but no one saw that coming. Lots of love to the Kings and their fan base because they deserve this year for sure.
Yeah, I think, I mean, there's a lot of surprises there. A lot of good takes, I would say, like having the Clippers high up, Nuggets one seed. No one could have seen the Mavs really combusting after trading for Kyrie, and no one could have seen the KD to Phoenix trade. So, around that time, that is where they were in the standings. And I guess, yeah, the only big miss for you is one, the Grizzlies solo. That's actually pure disrespect to their team, especially because of how good they were the previous year. I guess that's a
Yeah,
good way.
exactly. They were the two seed the previous year, and I still disrespect them. I said, I don't think they can do it again. But they
That's
did.
true.
They
That's
proved me
true.
wrong. I would like to say, honorable mention, the only team I got wrong, like that totally missed it, was the Thunder. So
Yeah.
that's not bad.
Yeah, not bad at all. The fact that you had all 10 there, except for
Except
the
the
Thunder.
Mavs.
Yeah.
The Mavs and the Thunder, you could change,
Yeah, but
but
that's still pretty impressive. Let's move
I
on to
had
my
the,
predictions
yeah, for sure.
real quick. So I had the Warriors at one, Nuggets at two, Clippers at three, Pelicans at four, which in my own defense, they were looking extremely good when they had their big three together playing and they were healthy, but you can't really predict injuries. I had thought that this would be the season where Zion really puts it all together and has a very healthy 60 plus game season. Didn't
To
end
be
up being the
fair,
case.
it looked like he did to start the season. He was on a
Yeah.
tear. I mean, he was an all-star starter.
He was an
I mean,
MVP
yeah,
candidate.
he absolutely was.
And then I had the T-Wolves at five. I think we both sort of expected this Rudy Gobert trade to be a lot more fruitful than it actually was. It ended up being a pretty big disaster for the Timberwolves. I mean, they're sitting at what, number nine right now? Or number eight, sorry, in
Think
the
about who they
West.
traded. Think about who they traded for Rudy Gobert. five picks plus a pick that turned into Walker Kessler.
Yeah.
They traded Jared Vanderbilt, Malik Beasley. They traded Patrick Beverley,
Yeah.
and I think one more player. I'm forgetting who. Maybe it was like Nikhil Alexander Walker or something.
Yeah, well,
But
I think it
think
was.
about that. Think about that. That's four rotational players plus Walker Kessler, who's essentially your new Rudy Gobert, and four picks.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you look at the numbers and Walker Kessler, he's gonna be a first team all rookie player. He averaged, I think, more blocks or more total blocks than Rudy Gobert this season. And just the pairing between Rudy Gobert and Cat has just been pretty abysmal this season. We'll talk a little bit more about where we think the T-Wolves are gonna end up this postseason because they're gonna be in that play-in tournament in just a bit. But moving on real quick, I had the Mavs at my sixth seed. Suns at seven, Grizzlies at eight. So yeah, I also was pretty low on the Grizzlies. And just I don't really understand, I guess, in retrospect, what we were thinking. I guess to give ourselves some credit, I think we thought that every single team is getting better and the Grizzlies just kind of stayed stagnant. But you know, all the players around the periphery improved. Jaren Jackson, I guess we didn't expect him to take such a big jump up to being an all-star, to being a guy in Defensive Player of the Year conversations. And just for the rest of the team to just stay extremely consistent, extremely talented, and just to have a lot of hustle. And then I had the Lakers at nine and then the Blazers at 10. So, like you, I think I missed out on having the Blazers there when they shouldn't have been, and also the Mavericks. So who did I neglect to include? Oh, the Kings.
The
So yeah.
Kings and the Thunder.
So
You
I'll
had the
give you
Kings, I remember, at 11.
Yeah. So you did have a better prediction for the Western Conference, but I guess
Yes,
let's move to
we'll
the
get to the
East.
East, and that will
Yeah,
change very quickly.
that's where I'll get my get back. So I guess
Yeah.
before you hop into your Eastern predictions, I'll just break down what the actual Eastern Conference looks like. It's Bucks at one, Celtics at two, Sixers three, Cavs four, Knicks at five, Nets six, Heat, Hawks, Raptors, and Bulls. So you want to get into your predictions for the preseason?
So I'll take my top four seeds. I'm happy with these. I had Bucks at one. I had Nets at two. Pre Kevin Durant, pre Kyrie Irving trade. But before that happened, you know they were bound for the top three, top four seed.
Sure.
I'm not mad at that. I had Cavs at three, Sixers at four. Then I had the Heat at five. And look, I'm not too mad at that because I've always been high on the Heat as a team, and they are in the play-in, but I don't think that's outrageously high. I had the Celtics at six after the whole Ime Udoka disaster. We weren't sure where they were going to stand,
Yeah.
and I thought they'd drop a little, but they proved us wrong. That wasn't just a coaching thing. They're just a good damn team. Now this is where I'm a bite the bullet here, and I had the Wizards at seven.
Okay, can we break down what you were thinking with this one? Because I think even in the time, I was like, bro, what are you thinking with this
Look,
pick?
I had to pick something spicy, right? I had to
Okay,
start with
fair.
something spicy, but not only that, but I'll defend it a little bit.
Okay.
To start, if you remember, to start last season, not this season, but when the Wizards were fully healthy, they were the one seed for like the first third of the season. And yeah, they dropped off, but it was the same team, same guys. And the reason they dropped off was because Bradley Beal got injured and he didn't come back until like there was a quarter of the season left. So I was like, okay, well, if this team stays healthy, yeah, they're not going to be the one seed, but I could see them being a high play-in seed, like surprising the Eastern Conference. And I don't think that was so outrageous to think. I still don't think it's that outrageous to think because you think of their guys, their big three in Kuz, Beal, and K or KP. You think of those players, and you're not like, that's not a amazing team. That's not a contender. But like, yeah, I guess they could be like an eighth seed.
Yeah, that's not a okay, that's not an outrageous pick. I guess just with the way that it panned out, it seemed that as though like, you know, just the Wizards were not in it for a winning season this year. They I think yeah. But yeah, you want to keep going?
So to move on from there, I had the Knicks at my eight. I was a little low on the Knicks, but good for them for doing what they did again, proving people wrong.
Yep.
A bounce back season for Julius Randle. I had the Hawks at nine, which I think is a lot lower than most people had them projected, considering the DeJounte Murray trade that happened. So I'm pretty happy with that pick.
Yeah, definitely.
And I had the Raptors at the 10. So I'll take the dubs on the Raptors and the Hawks, getting them in there. But I will have to say my Wizards was slightly, just a smidge out of place.
A little bit, just a little bit. But yeah, I'll just go into
Wait,
mine real
who did
quick.
I forget in my list? Who was not in my
Chicago, I think.
Yes, it was the Bulls. Okay, so only
Yeah.
one team. I'll take only one team missing from each side.
Yeah, I think I actually included them. So I'm pretty happy with mine. I think I had all the teams there. We'll go through it right now. So I had the Bucks at one, Cavs at two, Nets three, Sixers four. So honestly, similar to you, I think we had the same top four, just slightly rearranged. I had the Knicks at five, which is pretty much right on the money. Knicks ended up being five. So I think I was, bigger on the Jalen Brunson trade. I thought he was going to have an immediate impact and just sort of fill a void that the Knicks have had at the point guard position for a long time. And so I'm actually very glad with that pick, and how that played out. I had the Hawks at six. I think you were like not as big on the DeJounte Murray trade. I was,
I
and
think we
also,
both liked it. I just
I mean,
wasn't.
yeah, I just thought that Trey would continue to play at a very high level, but he obviously had a very down year, and the fit just. It worked, but the rest of the team really wasn't there. John Collins kind of regressed a little bit too. It was just the Hawks as a whole were very disappointing. And you kind of captured that.
And they were missing Kevin Huerter, and like they were missing some of their surrounding pieces. Bogdanovich, like just all their surrounding guys kind of dropped off. Like the 3-point shooting wasn't there outside their stars.
Well,
And even
they
Trae
lost
Young
a
had
lot
that
of those
drop off.
guys.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, because
Oh yeah.
they weren't there.
Okay, yeah. So then I had the Celtics at six or at seven, sorry. And then Raptors, Bulls, Heat. So my play-in was pretty spot on with the Raptors, Bulls, and Heat all making it. I obviously you kind of captured our sentiments around the Celtics with the whole Ime Udoka situation. But yeah, overall, I would say our predictions were not terrible. I don't think we missed like any huge things. I guess the biggest commonality between ours and what we missed was that we didn't see the Kings coming, which I think is perfectly valid because they were really the biggest surprise story in maybe the past 5 years, just how they exploded onto the scene and just dominated the Western Conference. And then I guess in the East are just how low we had the Celtics. And just, yeah. But with
Yeah,
that
and then
all, or
I was
sorry,
gonna
go
say
ahead.
the other teams that we couldn't have predicted were the Mavs and the Nets, but that's again, you can't see
Yeah,
those things coming.
really can't foresee those trades being made. I mean, I kind of tried to. I remember in our prediction, I put the Blazers at my 10 seed because I thought they would go all in to try and build around Dame, but the Blazers just were pretty stagnant at the trade deadline, didn't make any moves. And so, yeah, that one kind of blew up in my face.
Yeah, I
But
remember my th thought process behind the Blazers not being in was I just think they didn't have enough depth. I thought, like, look, you have a bunch of young guys, you have a good starting lineup, but then it just falls off entirely and you're going to have nothing else. And Dame's just going to have 50 point nights every single time for them to just barely win. And
it's
that's
true.
kind of actually what happened.
Yeah, I had to drop 71 to eke out a win
Yeah.
this season. But we do have a chance for redemption, or at least to do a bit better with the predictions here, where we're going to predict the 2023 NBA playoffs.
Yep.
Yeah, so I guess the way we could break this down, I think it would be wiser to just start by each conference, go through each of the rounds, and just kind of compare what we have. So I guess, do you think that we should do it like we both say our play-in predictions and our first round, et cetera, or you go through your whole West and then I go through my whole West.
I think we can do plans at the same time.
Okay.
Like you can do, I'll let you introduce your plans first. So let's start with the Western Conference. Who do you have as your play-in champs, your two teams coming out of the play-in?
So I actually have the Lakers and then OKC. So the way I have it playing out is that I have the Lakers being the Timberwolves in the first round. I think this one is the clearest win. The Timberwolves are going to be missing their best defender, Jaden McDaniels, who broke his hand punching the wall today. Like in this Pelicans game, he punched the wall, broke his hand. So he's not going to be playing. Rudy Gobert and slow-mo Kyle Anderson, got into an altercation. And so there's a lot of tension in the Timberwolves camp. It's in LA. This seems like a very clear-cut win for the Lakers. And then I have OKC being the Pelicans. I just think that OKC is one of the most underrated teams here in the playoffs. I think that Shai is the best player in this game right here. And I think that the Pelicans are really going to be missing Zion. And so I think they can eke out a win on the road. And then I would have OKC being the Timberwolves for the same reasons, missing Jaden McDaniels. I think that Jalen Williams has been such a revelation for OKC. And I think that Shai is really just going to send them over the edge. So that's what I got happening in my plan.
Yeah, I feel you in that first game. Definitely gonna have the Lakers beating the Timberwolves in there. You covered all the bases on that, and I just think the one thing, like you said, they got in an altercation. Rudy Gobert punched Slo-Mo on the bench and was asked to leave the stadium and go home, and that's just wild to me. And the thing is, with Jaden McDaniels breaking his hand punching the wall, like that seems like something you do if you lose a game, but they won the game. They beat the Pelicans. They got the eighth seed.
that's just such a like rookie move, just to like punch the wall in a win that doesn't really affect the standings that much. The Timberwolves were always going to be in the play-in, and they won the game. I don't, and then now he's going to be out. So like, I really
Yep.
just don't understand the thought process behind that.
And the thing is, Jaden McDaniels is the guy who's going to be defending LeBron James. That's a tall order. And if anyone, Jaden McDaniels has the best capability to do that. And then on top of it, Anthony Davis's career stats against Rudy Gobert are very good. He tends to eat Rudy Gobert alive. It's a very hard matchup for Rudy just because of the agility of Anthony Davis and his ability to, just have on ball like actions, to be shifty with the ball. And then that leaves Karl-Anthony Towns. And I do think Karl-Anthony Towns will have a big game, but he can't do it all by himself. Especially because I think Anthony Edwards will be locked up by Jared Vanderbilt.
It's
Because
a
he
good, it's
tends
a
to have
great
trouble
matchup
against.
for the Lakers.
And not only that, but the Lakers have three players on the team who played in this system, played with this coach, played with these players, know how they want to run, know what they're comfortable doing, and the Timberwolves don't have that luxury. So, I'll move on to my next game. I actually have the Pelicans beating the Thunder in that game. I'm very big on Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I think he's an incredible player. And I would love to see OKC win that game. But I'm also very big on Brandon Ingram. And we saw what the Pelicans did last year with this exact group without Zion, against it was it the Clippers who they took to six or seven games?
It was the Suns.
Or it was the Suns, yes. They took the Suns to either six or seven games. Great series. Jose Alvarado really stepped up. And I think that slight edge in experience, as well as like veteran leadership and CJ McCollum, and just the pure all-star in like clutch genes of Brandon Ingram is a better recipe than what the Thunder have to offer, just because it's really just the Shea show, and it sometimes takes more than just an individual to win a game. And then I'm also going to have the Pelicans beating the Timberwolves. I just think this Timberwolves team is going to dismantle after that loss to the Lakers. Kind of just seems like they're ready to be done with the season a little bit after this whole debacle today. So I think Pelicans are going to be making that of the that round. So you have OKC and I have the Pelicans. So
That's
it's going to be
the
kind of hard to keep track of, but we'll make sure to remind you whose bracket is what.
Yeah, that's why I think maybe it might just be wiser you go through your first round and then like you
I
go through
see.
your West, I go through my West. So
Entire Western Conference?
yeah,
Okay.
you want to go through it?
I can finish off my Western Conference, and then you
Okay.
can go ahead through yours.
And no,
Okay.
I'll comment. We'll comment. We'll talk about yours after, and then you talk about mine. I think
For
that's it.
sure. So in the first round, now that you know that it's the Nuggets and the Pelicans, this can be the first round matchup, 1-8 seed. I'm gonna have the Nuggets beating the Pels in seven games. I
Seven
think they
games.
take them to
Wow.
seven. I think this Nuggets team has been sitting their guys for too long. I think yes, it does help to sit some guys, but you need to have not just fresh legs, but ready legs. And I think just the amount of time they've been sitting out can't be conducive to like a playoff setting. And I think that the Pelicans can make a good game plan around Nikola Jokic because he isn't a superstar who's going to go get you a bucket. He's a superstar who's going to get his role players involved. And sometimes he can be exposed in the postseason, and we've seen that. And he's yet to prove to me that he can take it all the way. So I'm going to assume that a team like the Pelicans can push him to seven games.
And are you assuming that Zion stays out this whole series?
Yes. And if Zion comes back, I think they win. I'll
Wow,
call it
that's
now.
a.
I'll call it now. If Zion comes back, the Nuggets are going to get bullied. I think that Jokic will get out-rebounded by a out-of-shape Zion Williamson.
That's a bold prediction, but I respect it.
But we're assuming it all stays the same as this right now. The Lakers, I have beating the Grizzlies in six. Originally, I had it in five, but I was like, okay, I need to give a little more respect to the Grizzlies. I already disrespected them to start the season. Can't disrespect them again. They're a good team. But I think experience and just the greatness of LeBron James is going to win out. And it's not really fair to call this team a seven seed, and by any stretch of the me by any means, they're the number one defense post trade deadline and a top 10 offense. So this is like a, I think they have a top three, a top three, what's the word I'm looking for? Like winning percentage.
Oh,
Sorry,
yeah.
I don't know what the word I was looking for. They have a top three winning percentage since the trade deadline. So they're, if you could make the argument, like a top three to four seed, arguably, based on the team construction they have now. And the Grizzlies are a weaker top seed just because they're missing guys like Brandon Clark. They're missing Steven Adams. And
Steven
Steven
Adams.
Adams is out. He won't be playing. So they're going to be missing a lot of rebounding, a lot of size. And Jaren Jackson Jr. is going to have a lot of trouble doing it all by himself, because who are you going to have come off the bench? Santi Aldama, he's a rookie, you know, like coming into the postseason, a different environment. It's just tough.
They might be relying on Kenny Lofton Jr., their G League MVP, who they
Who had
drafted this
42
year.
points today,
He had
by the way.
42. They genuinely might be relying on a guy who was playing the G League the whole season, pretty much, on for like serious minutes in the playoffs. So I feel you on that.
Yeah, and that's just a tough position to be in. But I can move on to my next series, the Warriors versus the Kings, the 3 versus 6 matchup. I have the Warriors beating the Kings in 4 games.
What?
I have a
Yo.
clean sweep, clean sweep, clean sweep of the Kings. This all okay. Look,
Okay, this is a
the
terrible
Kings.
take. This is a bad take.
No. I'm giving the Kings their props. I like what the Kings have done. But I will absolutely take a dump on them in the postseason. This is not a team built for the postseason. This is a team built for the regular season. They're a very good offensive team, but they have very little defensive capability. And if you give me a Steph Curry and a Klay Thompson who look like themselves, because Klay has looked like himself this year, Steph Curry is always going to look like himself. With Andrew Wiggins coming back, I absolutely think this team is a contender not to be messed with. And you cannot say that about the
No, that's
Kings.
valid. That's extremely valid. And I think that there are serious questions I have about Sacramento in the playoffs. But you gotta understand this, Hunter. When we get to that Sacramento Warriors games, that first game and the second game are gonna be played in Sacramento.
Yeah, I
Who
understand.
is the worst road team by far in the NBA?
This is
Golden
true.
State Warriors. And so you're gonna be playing against the Sacramento Kings in an arena where they haven't been in the playoffs since 2006. The energy is gonna be absolutely insane. And so, if you don't think that the Kings can at least rattle off one win in that arena, I think that's really disrespectful to
Nah, bro.
Sacramento and their fans.
I think you disrespect the baby-faced assassin. There's a reason they call him the baby-faced assassin, because nobody's expecting it. Nobody's expecting him to come in there and silence the crowd in the first quarter and put the Warriors up by 20 by half. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but don't be surprised if you see Steph Curry has 7 3-pointers made in the first half and Klay Thompson has 5 3-pointers made in the first half, and the Warriors are like on some like record-breaking first half 3-pointers made, because that's the kind of team this is.
Well, okay, guess what the kind of team is that Sacramento is? They got the most clutch player by points in the clutch in the league in De'Aaron Fox. They got a, reliable, solid big man, all-star big man who doesn't make that many mistakes in Domantas Sabonis, and they have reliable shooting too. You want to
Look,
talk about guys who can go off? Look at Kevin Huerter. Look at Keegan Murray. I expect him to step up even though he is just a rookie. They got shooters and they got guys who can defend, even though they have a bad defense as a team. You throw Davion Mitchell on Steph Curry, I think he's going to cause him some problems. I think that's a matchup you got to look out for.
I think that's fair. I think we have to talk about that De'Aaron Fox clutch stat statistic, because one thing that stands out to me when you talk about that is I'm a big fan of bringing that up. I love De'Aaron Fox. But that also means the Kings have put themselves in a lot of positions where they're close in games. That's absolutely true. They've put themselves probably in one of the most amounts of positions where it's a close game and they need their stars to bail them out. And I think the Warriors aren't messing around like that. I think just 7 8 years of postseason experience between your coach and your players. I mean, having 8 to 10 years of chemistry between Steph, Klay, and Draymond, they know what each other is thinking. They know what they're going to do. They've been in these situations, these high pressure situations. Like every single thing you could possibly throw at them that could rattle a guy like Sabonis, could rattle De'Aaron Fox. They've been there. They've done that. They know how to handle it.
Okay, that's fair. And I think that their experience is ultimately going to help them help take them over the Kings in this series. I have the Kings losing as well. But I think you're underestimating two factors. One, if you're reintroducing Andrew Wiggins into this lineup, that's going to take a little bit of time to gel. I don't expect that to be an immediate plug and play where you put Andrew Wiggins after not playing for what, like 20 games, and it's immediately just going to be successful and he'll be back like he never left. No, I think there's going to be a few games of adjustment. Furthermore, I think that the Warriors have been increasingly relying on Jordan Poole for offense off the bench because they just don't have that many pieces there. And I think that Poole's just had a down year in general. And I think that, there might be a game or two in the playoffs where he has a few stinkers, where he puts up some pretty abysmal shooting splits. And so, all this to say, I think this is going to be a pretty competitive series, one of the most competitive series in the entire first round. And I think that is a disrespect to Sacramento to not have them winning a single game here.
Well, we can agree to disagree. I also dislike Sacramento,
Sure.
like their fan base and everything. And that does not have any impact on how I'm grading their team. But I do think this is a sweep. And I don't have any other, actually, I have one other sweep, but I'm not going to say that there's many other sweeps that I have. I just think this one is so clear cut. But the one thing that is valid is the amount of road wins the Warriors have is.
Hello, I think Hunter might have cut
Sweep.
out.
And if it's,
Oh, sorry.
oh,
You were I
sorry.
think you were cutting out, but
Okay.
you were saying the amount of roads something.
Oh yeah, the amount of road wins that the Warriors have could be concerning,
Yeah.
for that. But I still see that as like a convincing four games to me. And
Okay.
if not four games, then five games with a gentleman's sweep. I think like Sacramento could take one, and the Warriors take next four. Like that, I see as well.
Okay. You want to go into your Clippers Suns matchup?
Yeah. So I have. This is a crazy series. Think about this. This is a first round matchup.
I
We're
know.
getting Kevin Durant versus Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, or sorry, hopefully Paul George, but maybe not. But versus Kawhi Leonard and Russell Westbrook. That's going to be fun. I have Russ in there because look, Russ and KD have their beef, and that's
True.
just
That is true.
that's in there. And Russ, I'm not denying him, bro. He's been playing great ball for the Clippers, and he's been accepted by their fan base. And I'm happy for him to be in the place where he's finally mentally happy and playing well. So, no hate on Russ. I've always been a Russ supporter. But I'm gonna have the Suns beating the Clippers in seven. Just tough series. I can see it coming where it's a 3-point game. The Suns are up by three. It's 99-96 with 48 seconds to go on the clock. And they leave Russell Westbrook open from three. And he takes the shot and he makes it. And the fans go crazy. They're like, Russ made a three. He's that guy. And then Kevin Durant comes down the court and just shoots it over the top, right on top of Russell Westbrook's, and
Oh man.
silences the crowd. And then
Crazy.
Russ to be the hero with 10 seconds left. He takes the ball, takes the three, and he bricks it. And they lose. They lose the series.
Honestly, that's seems like a pretty realistic situation that could come. But I agree. I think this is going to be like an electric series. I think there's so much like history between these players. I'm excited to see how it goes down. I think this is really the first round matchup to watch. If you can only watch one first round playoff series this year, this is the one to see.
Oh, for sure. I'm very excited for this one, but I have Suns barely edging out. And I think we could just move on because we
Yeah.
did stick on that Kings Warriors matchup for a while.
Sure.
But going into my second round, that means I have Lakers Warriors. That's a fun one as well because you have LeBron finally back against Steph and Klay and Dre. And that's a cool one to watch. But I have the Lakers in six. I don't think the Warriors have any ability to stop Anthony Davis. Really, Draymond Green, the only way he's historically been able to stop AD is by fouling him, like with his, but like they're not called fouls. It's like where he puts one arm up and he uses the other arm to just shove AD so the refs don't see it. And that's been a common tactic used by Draymond. That's very effective, but you can't do that for an entire playoff series because there's ways to game plan around that.
Right.
That's the biggest issue for me with the Warriors is their lack of size. And I don't think that matters as much against the Kings because, yes, you have Sabonis, but I don't necessarily think they're going to be playing any other big men. Whereas the Lakers are a very big team with Vanderbilt, LeBron, AD, and that's really all they need, even if they end up playing guys like Rui, who are a little bit bigger as well. But I think Lakers have too much size for this Warriors team. And I think they also have good perimeter play. So I think it's their Lakers are just a tough team to beat. Is there some bias in there because I'm a Lakers fan and I want to see them beat the
Absolutely,
Warriors? Yes,
absolutely.
I'm not going to deny it. If it were my brother who's a Warriors fan talking about why the Warriors would beat the Lakers in six games, yeah, I can see that happening, but I'm going to take my Lakers in six. But moving on, I have the Suns versus the Nuggets in my other conference finals game. I'm going to be taking the Suns in five. I think this is a really convincing series where, like, there's not much the Nuggets really can do here. I feel like they're kind of just a worse version of the Suns in certain ways. Like, they shoot a lot of the mid-range, they shoot a lot of threes, and they're not very defensive oriented. Like, if you just look at those aspects of it. And
They also have baby KD and MPG and Michael Porter Jr. and then, D Book from Walmart and Jamal Murray.
So like, and what the Suns specialize in is like the mid-range shot. Like, they're the best mid-range shooting team in the league. They have three guys who are 50, 40, 90. That's stupid. That's ridiculous. To have one alone is insane, but to have three high volume players, 50, 40, 90, that's insane. Their bench is probably a little deeper. They have better shooting overall, and I think they have better defense. I just think they're a better overall team than the Nuggets, and I don't think the Nuggets match up well against them anyway. So
I agree with you there.
clear cut. And then in my conference finals, that means it's going to be the Suns versus the Lakers, and I'm taking the Suns in six. In six,
That
I think
hurts. That hurts.
it hurts to say out loud. I can't take the Lakers over the Suns. Kevin Durant is just too good. He is the best player in the Western Conference in my mind. And I there's no way to stop him. You cannot put Anthony Davis on him. Anthony Davis is a little bit too slow, and you need Anthony Davis in the paint to defend Ayton, which means you're going to have LeBron James defending Kevin Durant for an entire playoff series after he's already been busting his ass. I don't think that's realistic. So you're going to have Jared Vanderbilt most likely playing defense on Kevin Durant. And that's no disrespect to Jared Vanderbilt. I think he can guard Brandon Ingram. I think he can guard Luka Doncic. But Kevin Durant is just different. It doesn't matter how high up in his face you put your hand, it does not bother his shot. It just doesn't. I'm taking Kevin Durant all day. I think him alone, it's just ridiculous. And then Devin Booker. And the Lakers tend to concede the mid-range. The Lakers have built their system around Anthony Davis hovering the paint, and they have some guys hovering the three. And sometimes they give up those threes, but they usually don't give them up to good three-point shooters. And what do the Suns like to do? Shoot in the mid-range.
Yeah, I think this is a tough matchup for the Lakers. It's going to be interesting to see if this ends up happening. LeBron versus KD, because we haven't seen them on the same the court at the same time since that Christmas Day game in 2018. So would be electric to see. I'm actually like my Western Conference is very, very similar to yours. I have a couple different things going down just in terms of games played, but I think besides that, I have every matchup ending the same way. So I'll just go into it real quick. We don't have to spend too much time on it.
Talk about the big ones.
Yeah, so obviously I had OKC instead of the Pelicans, but I still had the Nuggets winning that one in five. Had the Lakers over Memphis in six. I had the Warriors over the Kings in seven. I mean, we talked about
Wow,
this.
you're talking about a long series.
I think it's a long series. I think that the Kings are going to give them serious problems. I could honestly even see the Kings winning this very realistically. I was wavering between having the Kings win this, but I just think that Golden State's experience and their just history of being in these big games is really going to help them shine. I think big shot making from Klay and Steph is going to help pa deliver them through, and I think that the inexperience of Sacramento is going to come to bite them. But yeah, I got the Warriors in seven there, and then I got the Suns over the Clippers in seven. Also, another series where I could see, if Paul George comes back, I think the Clippers actually win this one. I think they're
I agree.
maybe the deepest team in the NBA. And I think that, Kawhi and PG together, one of the best duos, if not the best duo in the NBA. And I think that the Suns have serious problems. Just because they have a lot of talent doesn't overlook the fact that CP3, come crunch time in the playoffs, he's tends to choke and let his team down. And I think that same could be said for a couple of the rest the other guys. Like Ayton on the team. It's going to be a important game for him where he has to abuse that Zubats matchup. And if he doesn't have a big series, then I think that this could be a series where the Clippers win. Then in my second round, I have the Suns over the Nuggets in six, and then the Lakers over the Warriors in six. And then I also have the Suns over the Lakers in six. It's unfortunate. I really hope the Lakers win that. And if we come to that moment, and depending on how the Lakers look throughout this playoff run, I could change my tune entirely. But as of right now, I do think that the Suns are positioned to be the conference champion. I think if not, then I think this might be the Clippers there, and then we're talking about a different story. But that's all contingent on PG coming back. So just as it stands right now, with PG being out, I got the Suns over the Lakers in six.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of questions around both the Suns and the Lakers because they're both in very similar scenarios as far as trade deadline, stars missing time, like that whole deal they've both been in. So we'll have to see how it plays out. The Suns have clearly been the better team, though.
Are we biased to the fact that we both had the Lakers making the conference finals? Absolutely. Like, I will say that I think if I wasn't a Laker fan, I would probably have them losing in the second round,
Yeah.
or even the first round, honestly. But like,
I don't think I'd
yeah.
have them losing in the first round if I wasn't a Laker fan. I think second round would be fair to say. I think I could see them losing to the Warriors if I wasn't a
Okay.
Laker fan.
Okay, fair
But
enough.
I do want to propose the question. Assuming Paul George comes back, let's say we take this scenario where the Suns lose to this Clippers team, this very deep Clippers team with a lot of wing depth. Could you see a world where the Lakers would beat the Clippers?
That's tough because, if you look at the past matchups, the past 11 meetings between the Lakers and the Clippers have gone the Clippers' way. The Clippers just seem to have the Lakers' number. Obviously, this would be incredible to see the Battle of LA finally playing out in the conference championship. That's exactly what we would want to
Can you
see.
imagine 4 years later?
I know. And assuming all their pieces are healthy, this would be an electric series and definitely like an all-time series to look back on. But in terms of who's going to win, honestly, I hate to say it, but I think the Clippers do take that one, unfortunately. I think
I think
that,
it's closer than the Suns Lakers series, though.
yeah, no, I think this one goes seven games. I just think that, the depth of the Clippers, their just defensive acumen, their shooting is just going to cause a lot of problems. And I think that for some reason, AD just doesn't really step up against the Clippers in the way that he should. This is a matchup where he should be thriving, but unfortunately, I think the length of the Clippers and just how they have so many versatile wings causes a lot of issues for him, where he settles for the mid-range. He doesn't really get deep and physical in the paint. And so, yeah, unfortunately, I would say the Clippers win that one.
Okay, that
Would
is
you
a fair assumption. I would probably tend to agree with you. I think the one problem I'd have was that the Clippers double teamed the hell out of Anthony Davis, and that's not a viable strategy in a playoff series because that's going to be very easy to pick apart once you look at the film, once you give the player the tools to figure out exactly what to do in that scenario. It becomes a very hard thing to repeat over and over.
And see these predictions, because I agree with you there. These are, I think, our predictions are just like what's most probable to happen. Obviously, my tune is going to change entirely once we enter the playoffs and the Lakers are actually competing in these games,
It could not.
assuming we win in the play-in, of course.
Watch
But yeah, I mean, like,
the Lakers like lose to the Timberwolves and then lose to like the Thunder.
never mind, oopsies, but yeah, okay. I think that's enough about the West.
Yeah.
We can move on to the East, where hopefully we'll be more objective, because I don't have any cards in the game here. You know what
Yeah.
I'm saying? So let's
Yeah,
talk about our
absolutely.
plans. Like, you go first, I'll go, and then we'll talk about our overall
Yeah, so I
prediction.
think there's less craziness going on in the East. So this is, might end up being a little shorter on the Eastern side just because I think there's less parity on the Eastern Conference side. So,
Okay.
first of all, I have the Heat beating the Hawks. We saw what they did to them last year in the postseason.
Yeah.
DeJounte Murray or not, this is probably not a worse team than last year. They're still a better team than last year, but a less organized team than last year. And the Heat are going to totally just destroy them again. Jimmy Butler has Trae Young's number, and I think he will forever have Trae Young's number until he retires. Then I have the Raptors beating the Bulls. I think they're a long team. They're going to disturb the Bulls' wing or the Bulls' wings and guards and Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan. Oh my God, I don't know why I couldn't figure out the name for a second. But they also play a very small lineup. They play DeMar DeRozan at the four. They start him at the four. You can't do that against a team in the Raptors where their starting lineup is probably an average height of 6'9". Like
Yeah.
that's just not realistic. That they're too big. And then I have the Raptors beating out the Hawks as well, just because I think that length again disturbs this smaller team. And I think when it comes to the postseason, length, size, speed, defense, that all matters. And the things the Bulls and the Hawks don't really have are that length, the size, the speed, the defense. I will say though, the Bulls have been a very good defense since the deadline. But I think part of that might just be due to the scenarios, not necessarily that they're a good defensive team.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I don't know, man. It's kind of hard to discount, you know, play-in veteran Patrick Beverley in the you know, in his comfortable home environment. He might be able to elevate the Bulls and just power them through, and we might get another hilarious video where he
Oh my
acts like
God.
he won the championship.
If that happens again, I swear to God, I'm gonna tell my kids Patrick Beverley, two-time NBA champion, led his
Two-time
team.
NBA play-in champion, you know. We got to start talking about him as one of the all-time greats. But I mostly agree with you there. I think that I ended up having the Hawks as the A seed over the Raptors. Not too consequential. I just think, you know, the star power might win out. I think Trey might be able to, you know, put together a great game, hopefully. But I think both of us, not to jump the gun a little bit, I think both of us have whatever team advances to eight getting absolutely smashed by the Bucks. So I don't think it really matters.
Yeah,
If you
but
don't mind, if I could go into my East first round first, because I have a very spicy pick that I want to talk to you about.
Oh, why? Go ahead.
Okay.
Yes,
So
I'd like to hear it. I also have a very spicy pick.
okay, I want to hear this. So I'll say that the Bucks are gonna sweep the Hawks. Not
Okay.
really too nothing crazy there. The Bucks
If
are
it were the Hawks, I'd say it was a sweep. In mine, I have them in against the Raptors, I have it in five, just because I think the Raptors fare better against the Bucks.
okay, that's fair. And yeah, I think the Raptors, you know, we obviously know how they were able to build the wall successfully against Giannis in 2019. Maybe they could put one together, but I think the Bucks are by far the best team in the NBA. So deep, you know, their star power powered by Giannis in crazy defensive prowess, Brook Lopez. I could go on and on about the Bucks, but anyway, here's where it gets spicy. I have the Miami Heat beating the Boston Celtics in 7 games.
No way, dude. That's what I put.
No way, really?
Yeah, dude, that's not fair. Come on,
Oh man.
I thought I
Okay,
was gonna be
well,
spicy. I thought I was
let's.
gonna be real spicy, and you
Okay.
stole my spice.
Well, I know how big you are in the Heat, actually.
Come
So I
on.
should have seen that coming. But yeah, no, I think let me just talk about this more from the perspective of the Boston
I'll let
Celtics.
you take it.
Because, okay, I'll just say this much. Jason Tatum, he can have a lot of off games. He's a very streaky player. When he's on, he looks like one of the best players in the on the planet. He's a perennial MVP candidate, but he also has a lot of games where he's very absent. His shot could be off. He just can't really score, and he just looks off, right? Jaylen Brown, he's the more consistent one of the two, I would say, but he has been very, like, I don't know, wavering. You know, you hear interviews and talking about his future in Boston, he doesn't seem too committed, doesn't seem like he's fully bought in this year, and it seems like he might leave in free agency or request a trade in the deadline. And then the rest of the team, obviously they have a lot of talent, they're very deep, Marcus Smart, Malcolm Brogdon, Robert Williams. But I think that, you know, this team really rides or dies by the Jays, and I think that they're just not going to be there entirely. Obviously, I think they're going to push the Heat to seven, but I think that Jimmy Butler is going to be the best player in the series as he was last year. You know, don't forget, they were 1 3-pointer away from making it to the conference finals or to the NBA finals. And I think that Miami, they haven't been the team they were last year, but they are never, you know, Jimmy Butler's never been a regular season kind of guy. He always takes his game to another level in the playoffs. And I think that having some extra experience, guys like Tyler Hero, Max Strus, even Victor Oladipo off the bench is really going to help. And don't forget, they added a playoff vet in Kevin Love, and I think he's going to give them some quality veteran minutes off the bench. And so, yeah, that's kind of my case for the Miami Heat. I was wondering what you thought. I mean, obviously you picked the same thing as me, so what do you think?
Yeah, listen, don't forget Udonis Haslem. This guy just dropped 24 points. He had his season high today. You think he's going to come in here to this series and he's going to bully the hell out of Robin Will or Rob Williams? Robert Williams is going to be dismantled by a 42-year-old. You hear me? No. But I really can't say much. You summed it up pretty well. At least how I feel on this. And like you said, the Heat, we saw this live, were just one Jimmy Butler three-pointer away from being in the NBA Finals, and who knows what happened there, because they probably would have matched it better against the Warriors and the Celtics, so that's just because their ability to guard the perimeter players and three-point shooters. And I'm not saying that the Warriors don't win the chip, but I'm saying you're looking at a very different series, and we could have been talking about this Miami Heat team very differently just if they'd gone to the NBA Finals, not even if they had won it. Look at the way we talk about the Celtics team. We'd probably been talking about this Miami Heat team the same way. And I also think the Miami Heat have been ramping up a ton towards the end of the season. They were a lot lower in the standings. I think for a while they were like the 10, 11 seed, and they've climbed all the way up to 7, which is a big deal because the Eastern Conference is way more spread out, which means they've climbed a lot more ground than you'd think. And I think they've come together right the right time. And if Bam Adebayo is playing this season like he has been and being aggressive scoring the ball, this team's a whole different beast. Because when Bam Adebayo is passive, it's kind of like a very similar conversation to Anthony Davis. I think you can make a lot of parallels between them. When he's passive, when he's not trying to score, when they're not feeding him the ball, this team doesn't thrive. And when they do, they absolutely dominate. And I think they have a very res similar recipe to success as the Lakers.
Yeah, I think that Bam Adebayo is going to really be the X factor in this because I don't expect Jimmy Butler to average anything less than 30 points per game in this series for him to facilitate, for him to be elite defensively. But I think Jimmy Butler is really the turning point in this series. He can be the linchpin for them on defense. He can really, lock down the paint, but also his offensive capabilities as a guy who can, score from the mid-range, be useful and versatile in the post, kind of like Anthony Davis. So I think this series is really contingent on Bam Adebayo. I think that, if he is kind of absent, then I could see the Celtics walking away in 6 or 5. I think
Yeah,
it's very,
it's
very
so
dependent
funny you
on
said that.
very dependent on Bam.
Because I was just about to say, I think that this, don't be surprised if the series is a Celtics in five as well. Because it really could flip either way. I just see the Heat have the ability to do it. And I'm going with the, like, maybe 40% of my brain that says the Heat can win it, and not the 60% of my brain that says the Celtics probably got this one.
Agreed, because I think there always is one like crazy upset or just series that doesn't go the way you would think, and I think this is the one that's primed to sort of be that series. I mean, obviously, I guess in the West we also have the 7 seed winning with the Lakers, but I think that the Lakers are more of like a higher seed than the Heat are.
Yeah, but the West this year is weird. I mean, you're talking about teams like the Warriors, who are defending champs, being a 6 seed, and just like the standings are very strange. So
That's
I don't
fair.
count the West as like a normal year, but the Eastern Conference is shaped up more like you'd expect a year to.
Yeah,
I
definitely.
think we can move on to our next game here, and
Yeah.
you were going on your first round, so
Sure.
you go
So
for this
I'll just
one.
say that I have the Sixers being the Nets in 5. I don't think this is a very like I think this Nets team is too young. This actually reminds me a lot of like when the Sixers played the Nets that in 2019, that Nets team with D'Angelo Russell, Jared Dudley. That was a fun series, but not too competitive. Think
This is
through.
probably a worse team than that team, though.
I agree. But I think that, I think Mikal Bridges is gonna have a great series. I expect, even a guy like Cam Thomas who dropped 42 today to have a good series. A lot of young talent on this squad. I expect them to get like a lot of valuable experience, but it's not gonna be too competitive. Joel Embiid, expect him to dominate. And yeah, I think that's all I have to say about that one. And then I actually have the Cavs beating the Knicks in 6. I think that I've talked to a lot of different people about this series. Knicks fans are telling me Knicks in 6. My dad says Knicks in 6. But I think that the Cavs, people are sleeping on them a little bit. Donovan Mitchell always takes his game to another level in the playoffs. I think that the length and size of the Cavs is going to create problems for any team. Just seriously, any team, including the Bucks. You guys got Evan Mobley, Jared Allen, even guys like Isaac Okoro, That's just going to cause a lot of defensive issues for teams. And then you have the scoring of Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell. And then a guy like Caris LeVert coming off the bench. Come on. This team is loaded with talent, elite defensively. And I think that they're going to win this one pretty definitively in 6. And then, yeah, I'll talk about them in the next round too.
Yeah, I actually also have the Cavs being Knicks in six. I think we think similarly in a lot of things. But just to add on to your point, when you think of like the Knicks' best players, Julius Randle, for example, is going to be a player who wants to work in the post. He can shoot the threes. He can shoot the mid-range. He's been most efficient in his career, especially in the postseason, because he usually tends to drop a peg in the postseason. He's been most efficient going to the hole. And who do you have at the hole? You have two of the best shot blockers in the league in Jarrett Allen and Evan Mobley. And then who else do you have? Jalen Brunson on your team. He's another guy who likes to drive the ball to the hole. He can shoot the three pretty well, but again, his priority is to drive. And again, two big shot blockers. My one concern with this Cavs team would be their ability to defend wing players because they only have Isaac Okoro. They really don't have any other wing depth, and their guards are small. But again, Jalen Brunson isn't a kind of guard who's going to shoot the three. He's going to attack, and that's going to lead to easy block opportunities in transition. And also, this team doesn't really have speak the Knicks team. This Knicks team doesn't really have a ton of wing depth or wing star power. I mean, I really don't call RJ Barrett a star. I think he's a very good role player, and Isaac Okoro shouldn't have too hard of a time dealing with him. So I think, like you were saying, this is a pretty handed series for the
It's a
Cavs.
good matchup for sure for the Cavs. And I think that you've raised a very valid concern about this Cavs team, like their wing depth, but I don't think that's really going to play a factor, as you were
Not in
saying,
this.
in this series. I think that the Knicks are going to struggle to find an answer for Donovan Mitchell. I think he's going to average above 30 this series. He, is an electric scorer, can score at all three levels. He has one of the best threes in the league. He can score inside, he can facilitate. And then, even if they throw, I don't know, would they throw Barrett on Mitchell? What do you think?
Probably.
Yeah, so they throw Barrett on Mitchell. Who do you have out there guarding Darius Garland? Let's not forget this guy is also an all-star caliber player. So I think that this Cavs team just has more talent and it's just better constructed than
They
the
probably have to
Knicks.
like Emmanuel Quickly or Quentin Grimes guarding him. Like
Yeah,
it's just tough.
it's pretty tough overall. I think that this Knicks team is like a piece or two away from being like a real contender to go deep in the East, but I think this Cavs team is there already. That's why they added Donovan Mitchell, exactly for a series like this. So yeah, I'm looking forward to the series. I'm just excited to see this Cavs team. They're, in my opinion, one of the most fun teams to watch. But yeah, that's how I have the first round playing out. I know you said you agreed with me on this Cavs Knicks and on the Miami Heat Celtics, but what do you think for the Bucks and for the Sixers series?
Yeah. So for Bucks Raptors, I have that as a 5-game series. I think Bucks take that for sure. But I think Raptors can give more trouble than the Hawks to the Bucks. They built the wall. We saw in the past. Nick Nurse is a great coach. They have a lot of size. And they still do have a guy like Fred VanVleet or Pascal Siakam, who I think can take over a game or two. Like I could still see this being a series that goes to six. Like I wouldn't discount the Raptors in like a series against the Bucks just because I think they're not like a great matchup, but they're a decent matchup. And I could see a game where Chris Middleton is off, and Giannis is doing his best, and Jrue Holiday may be a little off. And hey, we got one win, we can do it again. And then they get one more win at home, and then the Bucks carry the rest. Like I think that's very possible.
That's fine. That's fine.
And then going back to that Sixers and that series, I have that as a sweep. I think this Joel Embiid's going to dominate them. Nick Claxton. It's not big enough of a body to deal with Joel Embiid. And like you're saying, I like this team. This team shouldn't be in the postseason. And if they should, they're a 10 seed.
I just have concerns about Harden. He's been talking about his Achilles bothering him. I think that, he might even sit out a game or two, or at least just have a couple off games. And then, you're going to be relying on Maxey for scoring. I just think that you could have a game where Mikal goes off for 40
I
and there's
think
nothing
I
really you
could
can
say the
really
same for
do.
Maxey. I could see a scenario where Maxey goes off for 40 and Joel Embiid is like 30 and 16 or something. Like,
Sure. Yeah, no, I mean we both agree here. I have
yeah.
I just have the Nets winning one game. That's
Yeah,
all.
that I could see like a Nets snatching a game, but I'm gonna go ahead and stick with my gut and say that the Sixers take it in four.
Okay,
But
let's move
moving
on
on
to
to
that
the
second
second
round.
round, go ahead, I'll let you start with it.
I appreciate that. So I got the Bucks beating the Cavs. I'm actually going to raise this to seven. I think that I had it in six originally, but I want to say the Cavs in seven. Kind of convinced myself when I was hyping them up in that Knicks series. I think that the Cavs are really a tough team to beat. in back-to-back games. I think that they adjust well in matchups. JB Bickerstaff is a great coach, and I just you can't you really cannot discount the power of stars in the playoffs. And I think that Donovan Mitchell is a superstar player in the playoffs. Every single series he's played in since he was a rookie, he has elevated his game to another level. Even though you have Jrue Holiday potentially on him, I think that he's still such an electric scorer. He's going to find ways to get, to get buckets. And then the rest of the team, Caris LeVert, like rest of these guys are also going to find ways to get baskets. And so I think that the defensively is where I think the Cavs are going to thrive. Expect some low scoring games in this series where it's like 89-90, that kind of thing. Because I think that Jared Allen and Evan Mobley can really create some problems for Giannis, and that's why I think this is going to be a real competitive series. And then I have the Sixers beating the Heat or the Celtics. I have the Sixers winning either way in six games.
Okay. Yeah. So let me go ahead and say to comment on your first game. I also have the Bucks beating the Cavs. I like your take on that, but I think you're not giving Giannis enough credit. I think the force that he is, it doesn't matter if you have Jared Allen and Evan Mobley, he's going to get through. He's going to just tear through those guys, jump over the top of them. Just get through their bodies and slam it on top of them every single time down. Yeah, is it?
Wait, but what do you mean jump over them? They're like still
No,
there. Like,
not like jump over them, but you know what I mean? Like get his hand above their hands and just slam it in.
okay.
And I think that, yes, that could take a toll on his body, but he's shown to be a guy who can take the wear, he can take that tear on this body. And
I just don't think you're giving enough credit to Evan
Oh,
Mobley and Jared Allen. I think
trust
that.
me, I love that team. I love this team, but I have the Cavs, or sorry, I have the Bucks in six. I do,
Okay.
but I think you're just overhyping the Cavs just a slight bit, just because I think, like we were saying, one of the biggest problems is their lack of wing depth. And I think if Khris Middleton is shaping back up to himself, he's going to look really good in this series. Jrue Holiday has stepped it up. He's an all-star this year, and he's really been the number two on this team in the absence of Khris Middleton. And they don't have an answer for him. I mean,
That's true. That is a good
Darius
point.
Garland and Donovan Mitchell are great on offense, but they have no response on defense to a guy like Jrue Holiday. And especially because Jrue Holiday is a two-way player, he's going to be able to get up in the grill. He's going to be, I'm guessing, Donovan Mitchell. He's going to defend him, which means they're probably going to have Grayson Allen or someone on Darius Garland, which isn't ideal. But I also think that the shot blocking ability of Brook Lopez is going to deter them from driving to the paint, and you're going to see a lot of threes between this Cavs team. And I think if the threes aren't falling, they're going to have a really tough time. I see this as a Bucks convincing six games, because I do still have a lot of respect for this Cavs team, but I think you're just overhyping them a little bit.
Okay, fair enough. You make some valid points about their, lack of an answer for Jrue Holiday and then just overall wing troubles. I just think that Khris Middleton, it's just not his year. I think that, he's just been having an off year, and I don't think that's going to be too much of a factor. And I also think I'm just very big on Donovan Mitchell as a star in the playoffs. But we could keep going. Talk to me about this Sixers Heat series.
Yeah, so since I didn't have the Celtics in it, I didn't think about the series for the Celtics. But regardless, I have the Sixers beating the Heat in seven. I think it's a very close series. I see that this Heat team getting really close to the conference finals, like in a very similar fashion to how they almost got to the finals. Just like devastating, just absolutely
Man, wow.
gut-wrenching. 2 years in a row of the same kind of crap, and they gotta figure it out, blow up the team, do whatever, It's just it can't happen two times in a row. But I think Joel Embiid again dominates in this series. Bam Adebayo is just not big enough, although I think he can give Joel Embiid a good amount of trouble compared to most bigs in the league. And like you were saying, I think James Harden could be a very big weakness, especially considering the pressure that the Heat puts on the guards. But I think the periphery guys on this Sixers team are going to step up enough to make up for that. And I don't think the Heat periphery guys can step up enough to counteract the amount
I
that
just
the
think that
Sixers have.
I think that this is just the year where the Sixers take it over the line. I think that, this is the year where it's good to be a Sixers fan. Embiid is going to win the MVP. Sixers make it to the conference finals. And I think this is just the year where they put it all together. I think that around the periphery, as you were saying, those guys have been solid. You look at a guy like Tobias Harris, even a guy like George Niang, or you know, not Jaden McDaniels, Jaden Springer. He's not a guy that's going to get a ton of PT, but I'm saying, like, through and through, I think this Sixers lineup is solid. And so I think that they're going to have the edge in terms of depth in this series. I think they have the edge in terms of star power.
Shake Milton's been great as well.
Shake Milton. Yeah, that's another great guy who's been stepping up for them. And so I just want to say, like, I think this is the year for the Sixers, man. Not really, because they're going to lose in the next round, but.
Oh, let's see. So you have, I imagine that the Bucks, Sixers, in how many games?
That one goes to seven, I think. I think it's going to be an electric matchup to see Joel Embiid and Giannis Antetokounmpo in the conference finals. I think Harden is actually going to get kind of shut down by Drew, but I think this is where, you know, guys like Tyrese Maxey step it up a little bit to help the scoring deficiencies for the Sixers. But I just think that the Bucks are the better team. Any series the Bucks play in, they will be the better team. They have the better overall player. And so I just don't see them losing this. That game seven is going to be in Milwaukee. You already know they're going to be going crazy in Fiserv form. So I have the Bucks taking that in seven.
It's so funny. We're on the same wavelength today because I also have the Bucks in seven. But what makes this so funny is what I envisioned in my head of how this series ends is James Harden is taking the ball down the floor. It's like, a 1 point game. Sixers have the lead, 30 seconds on the clock, and Drew Holiday strips the ball and runs it down the floor to a Giannis lob.
Oh,
Just
just
in
like
the
in
open court, just a same way, same
wow.
exact way, baby. And that's why you said, like, I think James Harden's gonna get locked down. I was laughing because that was the exact picture I had in my head. So I think that again, we're on the same wavelength there. So that means we would both have the Suns and the Bucks in our
Yep.
NBA Finals, a rematch from
I
2020.
know. Rematch for 2021.
Who do you have? Or, yeah, sorry, 2021. Who do you have as your 2023 NBA champion?
The Milwaukee Bucks with my finals MVP, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Interesting. Interesting.
What do you
I
got?
have the Phoenix Suns. My
Okay,
finals MVP, Kevin Durant.
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's hear it out. Let's hear why you think the Suns would win this matchup.
Look, we saw what happened in that Brooklyn series. We all saw it. The 1 inch. If his shoe size was just 1 inch shorter, Nets would be in the finals. The Nets probably would have won the NBA title that year. And I think that it's KD's time to win another ring. I think it's Chris Paul's time to finally get the respect he deserves on his name, to finally have a ring on his finger, not be in the Stockton Club, not be in the Nash Club. He's in the Magic Club, the not quite that high, but you get what I'm saying. Like he
Yeah.
got the ring on his finger. I think that the Suns team, I think the fact that they have three main guys shooting 50, 40, 90 and mid-range centric is unstoppable simply because mid-range is easier than the three to shoot and teams don't like defending it. Even in a series where you have the game plan to defend these shots, it's just not a player's natural instinct to want to defend a fading to your right corner of the key Chris Paul jumper. Like that's just, and he's been doing that his whole career. And I think, yeah, he's had a down season, but he can do it. Kevin Durant's going to do it. Like, who on this Bucks team is going to be able to defend Kevin Durant? We saw what happened. Their plan was
You'll have Giannis on him, bro.
okay, no, listen, but in that Bucks series versus the Nets, the plan was contain everyone but Kevin Durant. We know Kevin Durant's going to drop 35 on our heads every single night, but that's not the plan. It let him exhaust himself. Let him just do everything he can, defend Kyrie Irving with Drew Holiday, defend everyone else. But you can't do that because you have Devin Booker now.
No,
You can't do that.
I think this is a good look. I'll say this. I think the Suns, the Bucks would be happy with the Suns. They're a good matchup for the Bucks. You can put Giannis on KD. You can put Drew Holiday on Devin Booker. You can put Brook Lopez on Ayton. And then Chris Paul is really, he's not really a factor anymore. I'm sorry. At this age, with the way he's been playing, he's not a guy that you really have to worry about seriously in the playoffs anymore. You can put Grayson Allen or even Chris Middleton on him and not really have too much of an issue. I think that this is a great matchup. for the Bucks, and I think it's a bad matchup for the Suns. If you're asking, you're asking Kevin Durant to guard Giannis, that's a tall order for KD, and he just can't do it. And then I think also Chris Middleton would thrive in this series. If he's getting guarded by a guy like TJ Warren, he's a guy who can really, step it up, even though I did say he was having a down year. And then I think that Brook Lopez is going to just really be feasting in the paint. He might be the best player defensively in this series, and I think that he's going to do well. And then you talk about depth. One thing I want to mention before depth is just toughness. I think that this Suns team fundamentally and mentally is a weak team. I think when they really get pushed, they might be able to fall apart. We talk about Chris Paul. We talk about Devin Booker being kind of soft. KD, notoriously soft player. Ayton, soft, right? What do the Bucks have? Tough players. Giannis is a tough guy. Brook Lopez, tough. They got guys like Jay Crowder, Grayson Allen, who I'm not going to say is tough, but he's dirty. So they got that going for them. And so I think
You talk
that.
about dirty. We got the king of dirty over on the Suns and Chris Paul. Christopher Emmanuel Paul is the king of dirty, bro. Don't even
But
be talking like
he's
that.
a mental midget, bro. When the push comes to shove in the NBA finals, he is just not built for that moment. I'm sorry. But then you look on the
Yeah, but the
Bucks
thing
side.
is, you know who's bringing up the ball in those moments, those moments where you're worried about, shoot, we're down three, we're down two, we need a bucket. This is a close game. You're not gonna have Chris Paul taking up the ball anymore. That's
You're gonna have
Kevin freaking Durant.
KD. Oh wow.
Yes.
If who do the Bucks have to stop him? If only a top three defender in the NBA and one of the best defenders in NBA history in Giannis Antetokounmpo.
But
This is a great matchup.
we know that Giannis can't defend Kevin Durant. We know he
Giannis
can't.
can defend Kevin Durant. I'm
Okay,
sorry, he can't.
tell me about that Brooklyn series then. What happened in the Brooklyn series? That wasn't a Giannis Antetokounmpo shut
That
down
was a
Kevin Durant.
series. That was a series where the Bucks were missing their second best player in Chris
And that was a
Middleton.
series. Okay, that was a series where the Nets were depleted as well. So we can't talk about injury status and all this stuff. We have to look at the raw numbers. What happened in that series? Because it was Kevin Durant versus the entirety of the Milwaukee Bucks minus a player. Because
Okay,
he
that's
didn't have
fair.
James Harden. He didn't have Kyrie Irving.
Okay,
It was
that's valid.
just him,
I
and he
think
took him to
KD,
seven.
look, KD is going to be able to get his numbers, right? But the thing is, so is Giannis, right? Because you look at that, I think Giannis can do a much better job of guarding KD than vice versa, right? All
Yeah, but
Giannis
I
got to
think
do,
threes beat
lower
twos
his
in this.
shoulder, put it into the chest of KD, and that's an easy guaranteed 35 points per game for Giannis Antetokounmpo. And then you look at these teams by depth, right? You go to their bench units. The Suns really have nobody on the bench. I'm gonna be real, their bench is very weak, and that's a potential weakness to exploit. They have Terrence Ross for scoring, maybe Josh Okogie, I guess, but
Torrey
like
Craig,
Torrey
yeah.
Craig, but come on. But then you look at the Bucks bench. The Bucks bench is as solid as they come. You got very veteran, reliable guys and Bobby Portis, Jay Crowder, Joe Ingles, Pat Connaughton, even guys like Goran Dragic, who are just like sitting there on the bench, but they're more likely gonna rely on a guy like Javon Carter. But I'm just saying that when it comes to the bench, I think that the Suns are going to continually be outscored. And I just think when push comes to shove, right? You got those crunch time moments. I'm relying on a guy like Chris Middleton or Giannis more than I am a guy like Chris Paul or Devin Booker or even Ayton.
I have a question for you. In this series, do you think both teams would say, okay, we concede. Giannis is going to get his buckets and Kevin Durant's going to get his buckets? Do you think they both concede that and said, we got to defend everyone else?
No, I think the Suns' game plan kind of relies on trying to shut down Giannis. I think that you can't just let Giannis have his way anymore. I think that he's too good of a player at this point in his career where that approach won't work anymore. And I
Okay,
think.
regardless, do you think that the approach for the Bucks would be Kevin Durant's going to score no matter what we do?
No, I think. I No, the thing is, I don't think that that's the approach for either team because I think that both teams kind of have that film from Brooklyn in 2021 to sort of look back upon and see where they can improve. And so I think that both teams are really going to try their best to shut them down. How successful that will be, I guess, remains to be seen, but I don't think it's just going to be a laissez-faire kind of defense.
Okay, take Giannis and take KD out of this. Who's the best player on the court?
Okay, I'll be real. I will be real. It is Devin Booker.
It's Devin Booker by a landslide. It's not close. Devin Booker is arguably the best shooting guard in the NBA, and you can't say that about anybody else being close to top three at their position.
Okay, I
Not
have another
not
question.
top five.
Let me ask you a question then. You take the okay, just look at the Suns, right? Go, you have to go like four players deep before you get if you're looking at best defensive player before you reach a Suns player, right? Because in terms of best defensive players, you're going to go Brook Lopez, Giannis, Drew Holiday, and then maybe you can say that you can put Ayton there if you want. So, like, you know what I'm saying? I think the defense of the Bucks is really going to be stifling, create a lot of problems for the Suns that I just don't think they're going to have an answer for. I'm sorry.
I think that this is the kind of series where tough shot makers are going to beat good defense, because today it's always been historically great offense beats great defense, but offense has evolved to the point where if you're hitting those shots that the defense can't defend, which this team has the capability to do, then it's so demoralizing for a defense no matter what that they're going to try, but they can't do anything to stop you. And Devin Booker and Kevin Durant are both those quality of shot makers.
I agree. I just think that what happens when the going gets tough and the shot making slows down? The problem
But
is
who
the
knows if
Suns,
it will?
the problem is I think that you're bound to have games where you have shot making that's off because of just the defensive problems the Bucks are going to be able to create. I just think that the Bucks have more guys they can rely on, right? You know what? Joe Ingles and Jay Crowder aren't hitting their shots. Let's bring in Pat Connaughton. Let's bring in Javon Carter to, and maybe they have a good game. Bobby Portis, maybe he makes a few threes in the game. I think that the Bucks are just so well-rounded. There's not a single weakness for this team. Talk about shooting, they got it. Defense, they got it. Playmaking, they got it. Star power, they got it. There's no weaknesses with the Bucks, but you look at the Suns, they have very visible apparent
That's
weaknesses
true.
that a team like the Bucks will exploit. Their lack of depth, their lack of defense, and the fact that they have a history of falling apart in big games in the playoffs. So,
I
I
think
think
Kevin
all
Durant solves falling apart, though. I think
Okay.
him as an individual, he's not a vocal leader, but you see it in his play.
That's fair. And I think that we could be looking at a scenario kind of like the Warriors after 2016, where they just didn't have enough mentally to get them over the edge. You bring in KD and it solves that problem. I just think that, you know, those Warriors teams, as good as they were, they did almost lose to the Rockets in 2018. If the Rockets didn't go 0 for 27 from three, that would have been the Rockets winning the NBA championship over the Cavs and not the Warriors. So adding KD doesn't fix all your problems, right? What were the problems with those 2018 Warriors teams? Lack of depth, lack of defense, right? It's very similar problems to this Suns team that
Yeah,
that we're
but they
talking
still
about.
did it win out. They won out.
That's true. I just think that Giannis is one of the most complete superstars we've ever seen in NBA history, and I don't ever see the Bucks having a series like that where they just collapse into game seven. I think that
I don't think the Bucks are gonna collapse. I think the Bucks are gonna be great throughout the whole series, very consistent. But if you're telling me 4 days out of the week, 4 out of 7, that's all you need for me for Kevin Durant and Devin Booker to have some of the best games of their career, I think they can do it for you.
I disagree. But regardless, I think we made our cases. We'll have to see how it ends up playing out. Knowing the way our predictions pan out, we're going to be looking at a Clippers versus Sixers NBA Finals. So we'll never know if either of us were correct. But regardless,
We'll reflect on it in the postseason, like not postseason, but the
the
postseason.
post-postseason recap where we'll be
And the
discussing all this.
off-season. That was the word,
The
off-season.
off-season, aka the post-postseason or the pre-preseason. But yeah, no, I will be back next week to discuss how the playing games went, whether we were right or wrong. And yeah, recapping everything that went down and gearing up for the NBA playoffs. So we'll have to see our predictions play out, hopefully pretty well. But on that note, thank you all so much for listening, and we will see you all next week. Take care.
Peace.